I really, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate that deep, wonderful welcome. And you can be seated. As David said, you do it unto the least of these, you do it unto me. And having that kind of response reminds me of being down in Honduras, Central America, and down in South America when we have crusades in those areas or different parts of the world. The evangelist comes out, they make a big fuss over the evangelist. And I certainly appreciate a welcome, knowing that we're but an instrument, an earthly instrument, that all the glory, honor, and praise goes to the Lord God. Paul said, they glorified Christ within me, knowing tonight that you're glorifying God. Then we share in that wonderful praise with you to glorify the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to say welcome to the tent. And welcome to our revival here in Jeffersonville, Indiana. It's certainly a real privilege to have you here with us. And we're late tonight, as you already see. But I heard the Lord say, I'm holding you up, son. And I thought, well, Lord, I know you're holding me up. But what's the reason? And about that time, the telephone rang. And an emergency call came in. And I understood exactly why that he was holding me up. So then all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. And the call that came was a real emergency. And it has to do with someone that I would really like for you to pray for tonight. It doesn't have to do with any of my fleshly kin, but it does have to do with someone that is within the family spiritually. And yet the person is not a Christian, but some of the people are Christians that the individual is related to. And there's a real crisis right at this moment, and we're praying that God will undertake. So I'd like for you to join in with me for prayer and believe with us. As a matter of fact, before we do anything tonight, that would be the first thing that I'd like for you to do. If you'd bow your heads with me, I'd like for us to pray together. I'd certainly like for my brothers here on the platform. I appreciate my precious minister brothers so much. I'd like for them to pray with me tonight and believe as we pray in the behalf of this request. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord, thou knowest the request that's on my heart tonight. Thou knowest the emergency, O God. And Father, I know that only you can undertake because of the seriousness of it. But I pray thee, Heavenly Father, in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus. Dear God, that in all mercy and compassion, though thou hast been very lenient, dear God, to this individual in many cases, yet I pray one more time, Father, that you would give an extended hand of mercy. And dear God, that you would do something in this particular case to reach down from out of heaven, Jesus, and stretch forth a healing hand to deliver from this condition. For Lord God, unless you undertake, I realize tonight that individual will pass over into the other world. And I know that they're not ready, Jesus, to go into that world. And I ask in your name tonight that you do something in some way tonight to undertake. I pray that you would hear my prayer. And I pray that you would hear the prayer of my brethren tonight. God, as we bind together to believe with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul, dear wonderful God, Lord, knowing the heartaches and sorrow that it's going to bring to someone, Father, and to some family and some people. I pray thee, O God, Lord, if you would, in your great loving name, that you would do something right now to help us, Father, to remember us. Lord, as we beseech thee by the wonderful bowels of thy mercy, do something in the lovely name of your holy child, Jesus. And we'll be careful to give thee the honor, the glory, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I appreciate you praying with us. May the Lord bless you. And I'd like to say again tonight that we're very thankful to have our brethren here on the platform with us. We're very grateful to have you here with us. And it really warms my heart to have my fellow ministers on the platform with me. That always warms my heart. I'd wondered why they had not come up. I'd made mention to Brother David that I felt they should be up here with us. And I'm so glad that they're up here with us tonight. We appreciate you being here with us, and I'd love to talk with you just a little bit about the wonderful things of God. I believe I see Brother Denny out there. Seems like he's got on some shields. I can't hardly tell. I don't know why Denny isn't up here tonight, but we're certainly glad to have Denny here. I wonder if Brother Ed's around tonight. All right. Brother Ed from over in another part of Indiana. Certainly love to have him around here tonight with us. All right, chapter 4. I see some people from different parts of the country that I know here, and see a lot of people here that I don't know, but we're thankful for all them that we do know, and we're thankful for them that we don't know. I see my daughter here and her husband, Frank Beretta and Dale. We're certainly glad to have them. They came in last night, but it was right at the end of the service. But we're certainly glad to have them here tonight. We appreciate all of you coming up to be with us. Every one of you coming to be with us, it means a lot to us. Now, the Lord has been talking to me, and I'm sure he's been talking to you. You know, there's nothing more wonderful than talking to Jesus. Don't you agree? Talking to Jesus is the most wonderful thing that you could ever do. And I've been talking to Jesus about the wonderful things of God. All right, chapter 4, let's read just a little bit. Chapter 4, the first verse. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. For the word preached did not profit them, nor being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into the rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing that then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All right. There's some things on my heart tonight that I'd like to talk to you about. I hope you'll give me a few minutes to talk with you, even though it's late. You know, it's a strange thing, but I've noticed everywhere that I have ever been in revival. I don't know of a place anywhere that I've ever been, usually, whether it's in the tent or whether it's in auditoriums or whatever. Satan always, as a rule, send some people into the tent services to get up just as the preacher comes in. Always he does it. It hardly ever fails. If you'll watch, it'll just about happen every service. He tries to do that to tear up the congregation and to get their minds scattered. He always has somebody. There might be 10,000 people, but he'll have one little group somewhere that's going to do that one thing. It always happens. But you know, I've learned not to bother with his evil doings and to just go on with the service and pay no attention to what he's doing. All right, I believe I got just a little too much volume here, Billy. All right, now, so then I thank the Lord tonight for his wonderful word,
and for the opportunity to be here tonight and speak to you in the name of the Lord. I thank God because He did promise us a rest, and He said that because they that the rest was promised to did not enter into that rest, therefore there remaineth a rest for God's people. That means that we can rest with a sure hope that there is something good coming in our behalf. It makes me feel so wonderful to know that God has set aside something special for them that love God and those that are the called according to His purpose. I'm glad tonight to know that Jesus is with us and that God is working in our behalf, and that He is working to try to bring to pass in your life and in my life the very best that life can afford. You know, it's wonderful to work with something or somebody that has you at interest and has you at heart. Isn't that right? It's bad to work with somebody that doesn't have you at interest or have you at heart. This is one thing we need to remember, that God has you at interest and God has you at heart. And what God is trying to do, He's trying to do for your good. Everything that God does, He does for your good. Because God loves you. God wants you to have the best. God is the great God of life. He's the great Spirit of life. Just think about that tonight now. God is the great Spirit of life. While I try to collect your thoughts tonight and try to get a unified effort tonight as far as thinking upon the Word, I want you to think on this thought tonight. God is life. God is the great Spirit of life. God is that great state of being that is the abundance of life. And you know, life must always do something. Isn't that right? Life must always do something. Life, what can life do but give life? The great abundance of life is forever creating. It's forever overflowing, and things are ever coming to life round about. God always creates. Even in the book of Revelation, after the entire world has been created, after many thousands of years has passed by, you hear that great voice of God again, and He says, "Behold, I make all things new." And so then that great, wonderful, abundant life that flows out from God is always in the act of creating. It's always in the act of overflowing. It's always giving off life because God is life. Wherever God appears, there's life. You know why there's so much sickness in the earth today? Because God is being pushed out of the world. Now listen to me. The trouble with the world today is that God is being pushed out of the world and sickness is abounding on every hand. There is sorrow, there is problems, there is oppression everywhere, and people are trying to explain it. Medical science is trying to explain it. Philosophers are trying to explain it. Counselors are trying to explain it. But it's all a bunch of vanity. It's all in vain. You can't explain it. There is only one answer, that's God's Word. And God's Word teaches that when sin comes into the world and you begin to push God out of your life, there is going to be sorrow and oppression and there is going to be sickness. Today the world is filled with sickness. It's filled with sorrow. It's filled with heartaches. All because of one thing. And that is we are losing our relativeness with God. We're withdrawing from God. We're not fellowshipping God. Where is our days of prayer? Where is our days of fasting? Where is our days of study? Where is our days of wanting to help the needy and the poor? Where is our days of wanting to evangelize the world? To tell people about the glad tidings of great joy that God said they could have from the Word. See, we've lost our vision. And the Bible said, without a vision, the people perish. Sickness is pressing in on every hand. People have become more interested in prosperity. They've become more interested in education. They've become more interested in sports. They've become more interested in the convenience and the refineries of this world. They've become more interested in talents and entertainment than they have in the true and the living God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. See, today it's gotten to be a bad situation. We've gotten away from God. We've drifted away from God as a whole. We, the people of the world today, we've drifted away from God and we've left off with God. And it's brought us a real bad situation. It's caused the hospitals to literally just fill up and run over. What are we going to do about it? What are we doing about it? Did you know the hospitals are so full, they can't hardly take anybody else in? Did you know the insane asylums are so full, they can't hardly take anybody else in? Did you know that the jailhouses are so full, they can't hardly take anybody else in? Did you know there's so many court cases that they have to put off a case for 6 months or a year before they can ever get around to trying it? My, what a bad situation it is. It's like we preached last night about Laodicea, the lukewarm church age, the one that's always saying, I'm rich, I have need of nothing. I made this statement last night. Churches, preachers, people have gotten to the place to where they feel like they don't need anybody to tell them anything. They've got to where they don't feel that they need anybody to teach them anymore. They don't want to communicate with anybody. They don't let anybody into their churches. They're afraid that somebody might lead their sheep off. But did you know that if a man's full of the Holy Ghost, he's not afraid of somebody else leading his sheep off? Brother, you've never led sheep off from the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you right now, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, ain't nobody going to take your sheep nowhere. But I tell you what the problem is. It's because they're not seeking God and they're not going on with God. That's why they're afraid. They know that they're not living an overcoming life. They know that they're not being filled with the Spirit. They know that they're not preaching the Word. They know that God's not standing with them. And they know the people's hungry and that they're looking for something. You love Jesus? But I'll tell you what, you get full of the Holy Ghost and you get the Spirit of God moving over there at your place. And instead of losing some sheep, you'll find some strays coming over your way. Hallelujah. You get the light of God burning and you get the fire of God burning. And you get some green pastures over there. And the first news you know, you'll have sheep running all over the place and you won't know who they belong to. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. So then, we see the situation of the world today. We see what's causing this situation. It's because of the lack of His Spirit. My brother, where God's Spirit is, there is not sickness. Wherever God's Spirit is, there is not sickness. You say, Brother Pike, how do you get that? Because when you have the abundance of God's Spirit around, God's Spirit is life. And my brother, when you have life, there's no death nearby. I said, when you're filled with life, there's no death nearby. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, the one thing that you're overlooking is the fact that people get old and die. You know, I prayed for a man yesterday. I believe it was yesterday. He was 80 years old. And the man, I know that he must be looking forward to dying, but he's been a real courageous fella. In the day we're living in, that's a good age, 80 years old. He looked real good. But I thought as I prayed for him, you know, here he was 80 years old. People get 80 years old, they're looking for a casket. When Moses got 80 years old, he was looking for a ministry. Hallelujah. I said at 80 years old, he was getting ready to preach the gospel. Why hadn't he got in condition to preach till he was 80 years old? Took 40 years training him down in Egypt, down there so he could learn all about the Egyptians down there and the political ways of life so that he could get in and out without being killed down there doing the things that God wanted him to do. Took another 40 years of training in the wilderness so he'd know where all the pitfalls was and the slime pits so that when he got them hundreds of thousands of people out there in the wilderness that they wouldn't fall into the slime pits. And then after about 80 years of training, God said, Moses, now I'm going to give you a ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God, you don't get too young and you don't get too old to work for God. God picked up a little boy over there about 7 years old, picked up another about 9 years old. Picked him up, set him on the throne and said, see here, this is the way I want it run. I can't get somebody that's older to pay any attention to me. Son, you're not about 9 years old, but I believe you'll do what I tell you. Isn't that wonderful? I'll tell you, all God wants is somebody that listens to His Spirit. Isn't that right? If you'll listen to God's Spirit tonight, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, you'll have yourself a good time and you'll win some souls for God. And I'll tell you, you'll be moving in this area or any other area in the anointing of God's Spirit, and people will begin to follow you everywhere you go. Hallelujah. Now then, what's the matter with the world today? Why all of this sickness today? It's because we are getting farther away from the Spirit of life. My brethren, when life begins to depart from us, there's nothing left but death. When we do not desire the ways of life, then we begin to fellowship the ways of death. You know, the devil, he entreats you. And he'll tell you that he's got abundance of living. He'll say, just follow me. I can give you everything that your heart wishes for. And I want you to know that he can. As far as the natural's concerned, he'll give you every perverted thing that your flesh lust is after. But not one time will he ever give you any soul satisfaction. He'll give you everything that your flesh wants. Did you know Jesus told Peter one time, speaking to Satan through him, he said, Satan, thou savest the things that be of this world, or thou savest the things that be of the flesh. He said, you love the things of this world, and you love the things of this flesh. You say, well, Brother Pike, we're made out of the dust. God gave us this world. Shouldn't we love the things in this world? The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You say, well, what should we do? Love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Is that right? Put all of your strength every day, all of the strength you have, into serving God, into doing something for God. Put all of your heart, all of your desire, all of your longing, all of your affections into loving God. Take all of your mind, meditate in His laws day and night. My brother, don't love the world. Don't love the things of the world. Place your affections on God and on the things above, and God will give you all of the world. Did you know that? God didn't make the world for you to love. God made the world for you to use. God didn't give you an automobile to love. God gave you an automobile to use. God didn't give you a home to love. He gave you a home to use. He didn't give you land to be covetous over, but He gave you that land to use. And He also gave you those things to share with others. You know, people get covetous. People get greedy. And they get like a stopped up pipe. God can't run any more water through it. Isn't that right? That's why some people are dwarfed and they never have any more in life. Did you know the Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow? Did you know that you can be rich tonight, not only in spiritual things, but in financial things, in tangible things? Did you know that Abraham was a great prince and he had all the blessings of this life? He had so much wealth, they said Abraham's a great prince among us. Did you know that Job was a wealthy man, one of the most wealthy men in the area? Did you know that Solomon was a wealthy man and David was a wealthy man? Did you know that God blessed every man he ever raised up? You say, well, what about some of them New Testament folks over there, Brother Pike? Did you know the Bible said that the people of the New Testament sold their possessions and come and laid it down at Peter's feet? Did you know he had all the wealth that he wanted? He just wanted to use it for God, that's all. He just wasn't greedy, he wasn't selfish. Paul just walked off and left it and wouldn't have nothing to do with it. He wanted to give it away. He wanted to give it to somebody. He wanted to use it for the glory of God. A lot of people want to hoard it. That's the difference. So then, what's the trouble tonight? You're disfellowshipping the Spirit of life. You're pulling away from God. And the farther you get from life, the more death sets in. Tonight, some of you've got cancer. Tonight, some of you got heart conditions. Some tonight's got hardening of the arteries. Some of you's got other problems. Some of you's got family problems. You can't get along with your wife. You can't get along with your children. Some of you's got all kind of problems. You don't have any happiness in your home. And I know if you marry, you'll have trouble in the flesh. I realize that. When two people live together, they have problems. Me and my wife has disagreements. Me and my children have disagreements, but we also have happiness. We also have a home. We also enjoy working for God. But there's some people that never have any happiness. The only happiness that they can account for is when they get together as two greedy people that go to spend money or go to buy something or go to do something in the world. And when they do that, they're able to get together for a little while and smother out all their feelings. And just as quick as the money's gone and the frolic's gone, they're at each other's throat again. Somebody say amen. I said last night, a lot of people in the world, you look around you, they're in such a turmoil till they don't know what peace and happiness is. They don't know which way to turn in this world. They're so oppressed. They're so tore up till they don't know which way to go. Look at the teenagers. Like I said last night, running all over the place, day and night, everywhere. All the time, frolicking, going. The girls have lost their virtue. The boys have lost the decency of mind. They're corrupt in mind. You know, have you ever thought of this? Young man, when you corrupt all of the ladies, all of the girls, did you know that when you and the rest of the boys corrupt all of the girls, that someday you're going to have one of them for your wife? That you're going to have a harlot for your wife? Because while you're corrupting one girl, the other boy is corrupting another girl, and the other boy is corrupting another girl, and as a consequence of that, when you all get married, you got a bunch of harlots for wives. And then you have to sit around and look at each other and realize that each other has had your wife as a harlot. Somebody say amen. Young lady, when you do the way you do, and throw your virtues away and contaminate yourself, that makes you lower down than a dog. Even a dog's got more decency than that. What we need to do is stop. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, look what I've already done. Well, there's one thing about it. If you've killed three people, it's time to stop, not kill anymore. At least you can stop where you're at. You need to stop and turn around. Whatever you've done wrong, it's time you stop and turn around. Ask God to help you. Don't keep on doing it. If you can't save your virtue, maybe at least you can save your soul. If you'll turn around, maybe God will have mercy on you. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, oh, just look at the thrill that we have running up and down the streets at night, all doped up, having a frolic. Sure, enjoy sin for a season, cause you're going to burn in hell anyway. Enjoy sin for a season, because you've got a long time to burn in the lake of fire. You've got throughout eternity to burn. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in flames is going to last that long. Let me tell you something. Hell is not eternal, my friend. Hell is not eternal. Hell is not eternal. Because the Bible said hell shall give up its dead. And death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. So it's not eternal. But the writer said when it comes to the flames, it said eternal flames and eternal damnation. And brother, I want you to know when that lake of fire starts burning, it's going to burn and it's going to burn and it's going to burn. You follow me tonight? You need to get your life straightened out tonight. You're being separated from God. You're walking off leaving life tonight. And the farther you get away from life, my brother, my sister, the more you're going to have sickness, the more you're going to have trouble, the more you're going to have heartaches. You need to wake up. You need to get a hold of yourself. You need to lift yourself up in God and ask God for strength. Ask God to be with you. Ask God to help you. If you want health, you can have it. But you know how you have health. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, if I can get an evangelist to pray for me, I'll have health. You might get an evangelist to pray for you and he might break the yoke. The Bible said the anointing will break the yoke. If he's full of the Holy Ghost, he can lay hands on you and break the yoke. But I want you to know that if we ourselves tonight laid hands on you and broke the yoke before you got up under this tent, you could be bound again. You could be bound again. Jesus delivered a person and healed him and said, go thy way and sin no more. That's the worst thing come upon you. Before you get out of here, you could be in worse shape. Did you know that faith is a great thing? But did you know that faith has to be used right or it won't profit you anything? Did you know that Peter had so much faith that he jumped overboard, walked on the water, and was a master as he stood there looking at the Son of God? But did you know that within a few minutes, he took his eyes off of the Word and he was sinking beneath the water? He had that same faith. It was the same Peter, but he was drowning because he wasn't using his faith. My brother, you can use that faith one minute powerful enough to raise the dead. The next minute you can let that faith lay dormant and you can go right down into the pits of the fire. You've got to use that faith. You've got to get up and use that faith. The Bible said, taking the shield of faith that you might be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. You've got to put forth that shield of faith. You've got to get up and do something about it. You've got to put a little works with that faith to keep that faith alive. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, all I have to do is believe. But I want you to know the Bible said faith without works is dead. It takes some works. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, Jesus Christ finished the works from the foundation of the world. I know he did. He finished the works from the foundation of the world. For the faith of Jesus Christ, it was given from the foundation of the world. But when he spoke of your faith, he spoke of a wavering faith that had to have some works from you to keep it from wavering. When the writer said we're saved by faith without works, we know that he was speaking about the faith of Jesus Christ because the works was finished from the foundation of the world. But when he said that you're saved by faith and he spoke of all men having this faith, he was speaking of a human faith because when he spoke of Christ's faith, he said all men have not faith. And when he spoke of a faith that had to have works, he was speaking of your faith. When he spoke of a faith that didn't have to have works, he was speaking of the faith of Jesus Christ by which we're sanctified. You love the Lord? The Bible said that God has sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I don't have to get sanctified every day. I'm glad that I don't have to be sanctified in every service. I'm glad I don't have to be sanctified in every revival to be able to get to heaven. Are you listening? The Bible said God has sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said God hath perfected forever, which means made perfect them that are sanctified. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, there ain't nobody perfect. When you say that, you call God a lie. The Bible teaches that God is the Word, and the Word said God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and he has sanctified once and for all. And it is coming back after a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Now I know the Bible said sanctify yourselves daily, and I believe we ought to sanctify ourselves daily. I believe every day we ought to fast, we ought to pray. We ought to cleanse ourselves. We ought to walk in holiness. Put away the filth of the flesh. Touch not the unclean things. Come out from among the world. Have a daily sanctification. But brother, that kind of sanctification is so that God will use us. That kind of sanctification is so we can be filled with the Spirit, filled up with the power of God, and have that light and that glowing goodness in us. But that kind of sanctification don't have nothing to do with salvation. The salvation that we're speaking about, we are speaking of the faith that needs no works. But when we are speaking about being an instrument for God, when we're speaking about being a witness for God, when we're speaking about being an overcomer for God, we're speaking about the faith that needs some works to go along with it. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad God left something for me to do. I'm glad he didn't leave something for me to do in the sense that he left it to where if I failed to do it, that I might be lost. Are you listening? I said, I'm glad that God didn't leave it in such a condition that if I happen to leave off one day and stumble, that I won't go to hell. You love Jesus? You know what? Sometimes people backslide. Are you listening? Sometimes people backslide. But I'm glad God's still with us. I'm glad God's still with us. I said, I'm glad God's still with us. God will still help us. You know, some people, they get away from God. They go out there in the world and do all ungodly things. They get wrapped up with the things of the world. They cheat, they lie, they swindle. They commit harlotry and everything else. Somebody said, well, they're still a Christian. I beg your pardon. Where do you read that in the Bible? You say, well, they're still Christian. God still got his hands on them. He's just going to save them and zip by fire. No, he's not going to save them and zip by fire. He's going to put them in the fire. He ain't going to take them out of the fire. When a person falls away from God, the Bible said after you've come to the knowledge of the truth, once you've tasted of the heavenly gift and been made partakers of the Holy Ghost and tasted of the power of God and the Word of God, the powers of the world to come, if then ye shall fall away, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. All of the fearful looking forward to of the fire indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. Brother, which means every willful sin that you commit must be paid for. When you know to do good and don't do it, and you just blunder over that thing and say, well, the blood of Jesus takes care of it. I want you to know there's no atonement for that sin. Jesus Christ never shed one drop of his blood for a willful sin. And a willful sin is one when you know to do better than what you've done, and you still go and do it. When you do that, you got to pay for it. There is no sacrifice for willful sin. Now, if it's a matter of backsliding, that's different. Now you say, Brother Pike, but them people that went out yonder and done all them evil things, them people were Christians. The Bible didn't say they were Christians. It said if they'd have been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. It said that's the reason they went out from us, that it might be made manifest they were not of us. If they'd have been of us, the Bible said they would have continued with us. The mere fact that they left us and went away from us, that proved that they were not of us. That's why God allowed it to happen. When the temptation came, they went away from us. But now if it's a matter of backsliding, that's a different situation. Jesus said, woe to the backslider. Woe to the backslider. You say, well, them poor folks are backsliders. Them people are not backsliders. The Bible said if you fall away, has a difference in going up a ladder and in backing back down the ladder or slipping down the ladder while you hold on. There's a difference in that and just getting up to the top of the ladder and falling off on your head. Them people fell away. And them people are lost. But a person that backslides is somebody that's trying to serve God. Somebody that's going on with God. Somebody's trying to do something for God, but they get careless sometimes. They get weak sometimes. They fail to pray like they ought to. They fail to fast like they ought to. They fail to go to church like they ought to. And sometimes they get overtaken in faults in the time of their weakness when their heart's crying for God. And they get overpowered. Demon powers, that's backsliding. But brother, I want you to know, Jesus said, I'm married to the backslider. I said, you still belong to him. You may be a backslider, but you still belong to him. You say, Brother Pike, how can you get that? If you're married to a man, you still belong to him. He said, woe to the backslider, I am married unto you. He said, I've healed your backsliding. I've healed your backsliding. Did you know at Calvary God healed our backsliding? And did you know that a person that's really born to the Spirit of God, there's not one spot, not one wrinkle, not one blemish against them? Christ is coming back after a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. You know what that means? That means that there's some perfect people in the world today. Old Brother Noah was a perfect man. Old Brother Job was a perfect man. God's got some perfect people in the world today. Paul said, as many as be perfect, let them be thus minded. There's some that God hath perfected forever. There's not one spot. There's not one blemish. There's not one speck. There's not one thing wrong with them. And the Bible said they are God's elect according to what God foreknew. He elected him unto grace according to his foreknowledge. And he said there's nobody in this world that can lay anything to their charge. Not one thing can they lay to their charge. Because they're God's elect. For them that God foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Isn't that right? I'm glad God looked down from heaven and predestinated me that I might be conformed to the image of his Son. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I don't mean that God has predestinated us to where we can get out here and live like Satan himself. Get out here and drink and fuss and say, I'm one of the predestinated and I'm on my way to heaven. I want you to know the Bible said if you do righteousness, and then if you turn and do wickedly, all of your righteousness shall not be remembered. In your sins ye shall die. And the Bible said if you do wickedly, and then turn and do righteously, all of your wickedness shall not be remembered. In your righteousness you shall live. You say, what do you mean then, Brother Pike, predestinated? I mean that we are predestinated in Christ. He hath predestinated in His beloved. We are predestinated in the Word tonight. We are predestinated in Christ Jesus tonight. That means as long as we are found within the life of Christ, as long as we're found within the Bible teaches, that means we are the predestinated of God. Because He predestinated every one of them in Jesus Christ. That would walk in that Word. That would be covered with that blood. That was inside of the life of Christ. I have predestinated you in Christ. In everyone that's found within that blood. Within the Word of God. Walking in the ways of Christ Jesus. You are the predestinated of God tonight. But my brother, when you get out of that Word. When you don't walk in that Word. You prove that you never were of us. Or you would have been with us. You would have stayed with us. If you'd have been of us, you'd have stayed in that Word. If you'd have been one of them predestinated, you'd have walked in that Word. If you'd have been one of them godly ones, you'd have walked in that Word. If you'd have been one of them that had been predestinated in that Word, predestinated in Christ, you'd have stayed in Christ. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah! So then tonight, look where we're at. Look what a great thing God has done. Look what God has done for His people. Oh, my beloved brother, sister, tonight, we are great and mighty people without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. The Bible said, he that knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And the Bible teaches that he died out of the presence of God that we might live in the presence of God. And he that knew no sin become my sin that I might become the body of Christ tonight. And Paul said, I'm bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh tonight. And it's not I that live, but it's Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. Or the life of Christ that's within me. So then tonight, look what a great calling we've got. Look what a great opportunity we've got. Look what a great thing God has done for us tonight. We're great people in God tonight. But out of God, everything is vanity. Out of Christ, all is vanity. All of the world out yonder, without God, all of the world that's out of Christ, all of those that's on the outside tonight, my brother, sister, they're lost. They're undone. They're without hope. There's nobody that can do anything for them. But tonight, we're sons and daughters of God. Therefore, there remaineth a rest for God's people. Seeing that those that God called to the rest did not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore there remaineth a rest for God's people. And he said, you beware, lest ye also being cut off, do not come into the rest of God. For if they were cut off because of unbelief, if you be high-minded, ye also be cut off. For if God spared not the natural branches, how much more easier is it for God to cut off those wild by nature branches of the Gentiles and graft back in them natural branches of the Jews to their own olive tree. So be not high-minded, but fear. Reverence God. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And we'll have fellowship one with another. Let the great Holy Spirit of life live in you and be filled with the Spirit of God and have God's life in you. And my brother, sister, when you do that, you'll have health. Cancer will just vanish away. Heart trouble will just vanish away. But the troubles with the church today, they're sick because they've disfellowshipped life. I want you to know that they've disfellowshipped life and they've got away from life and they're sick today. That's where the problem is. They're trying to go on saying that I'm a Christian and never pray. They're trying to go on saying that I'm a Christian and never read their Bible. They're trying to go on saying that I'm a Christian and not walk according to holiness. The Bible said, having your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life. If you don't have any fruits unto holiness, you can be sure that the end of your life isn't going to be eternal. So then there's one thing about it. If we're going to produce fruits of holiness, then we're going to have an endless life. But if we don't have fruits unto wholeness, we're not going to have eternal life. Now, I want you to think this over tonight. The Bible said God is the Spirit of holiness. God is the Spirit of life, and God is the only Spirit of life, and everything that has been created is something that came out from life. Which means every tree that was ever created was created by the act of holiness. Every bird that was ever made was made by the act of holiness. Every river that runs down through the mountains and down through the earth was created by the act of holiness. Every star that shows in the heavens, the sun, the moon, all was the act of holiness. Why? Because God is the Spirit of holiness. Every human being is the act of holiness. Now you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? It doesn't matter if you call yourself Baptist, Methodist, Holiness, Presbyterian, Catholic, Pentecostal, Church of God, Church of Christ, UPC, Jehovah's Witness, it don't matter what you call yourself, charismatic, whatever. Brother, God made you and put the breath in you. And God did it as the Spirit of holiness. You are the act of holiness. You can have many titles, but there's only one God. What is He? Holiness. The Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It is no wonder the Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. For God is the Spirit of holiness. How in the world can you see life unless you have holiness? I said the other night, you know, even the Catholic people have more understanding than some of the church people. At least they call the Pope His Holiness. At least they have that much understanding about religion. Whereas you know that's wrong. There's one His Holiness, that's God. But nevertheless, at least they have that much understanding about it. There's only one Spirit of life. That's holiness. And people that can't have the Spirit of holiness can't get away from cancer. They can't get away from sorrow. They can't get away from insanity. They can't get away from eternal damnation. They can't get away from oppression and spiritual bondage and demon oppression. They can't escape it. Why? Because they won't fellowship the Spirit of holiness. My brother, I challenge anybody in the world. It doesn't make any difference if they're in the medical profession. It doesn't matter if they're some seminary preacher. It doesn't matter if they're some of the greatest preachers in the world. I don't care whether they fasted or prayed or whatever they've done. I challenge them to prove to me that they can get along without the Spirit of holiness. I challenge them to prove to me that they can stay away from eternal damnation without the Spirit of holiness. I challenge them to prove to me that they can stay away from cancer and the things that eat up the body in the way of disease and oppressions. Leaving off the Spirit of holiness. You can't do it. There ain't no way. So then what's the matter with the church world today? They've left off with God. They've left off with the fruits of holiness. They've went after the world. They've went after the flesh. Saving the things that be of this world. They'd rather go to a ball game than go to the church. They've got more interest in the ball games than in the church. Did you know it's sad to say, but the churches of today have done everything but from put pool tables in the bottom of the churches to turn the people into a football team, basketball team. Don't you know tonight, and I say this with all reverence and respect, that if Christ Jesus was here, He wouldn't go to a ball game. You know better than that. I had a vision, and this is the truth if I ever told it in my life. God knows I'm not lying about it. I've told this a number of times. I was in this vision. All of a sudden, I found myself entombed. Just before this entombment, I heard an awful commotion. And I mean, there was a joy, and there was a jubilance, and there was a shouting. And I said, glory to God, somebody's having revival. And I took off just as hard as I could go. And I got over there, and there they were, just a mass of people. And they were just a hollering and a going on. I said, my, a revival. And I got there, and it was a ball game. And I got up to the ball game, and I thought, well, what is this? And them people was just a-hollering and a-praising God and a-praying for the ball team. And they were praying for their ball team to win. And I said, my God, what is this? What is this? And I listened. And then I turned around and walked off. And I was kind of sad as I walked off. And as I walked down the road, all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, there loomed up a great long thing like a great tube or a great plane or something. The body of a plane, except it was solid. It was an entombment. And it was no doors, no windows, no nothing. And all of a sudden, it just opened up like that and swallowed me up. And I was inside, and I said, my God, what is this? What's happened to me? And I looked, and God, my hand be raised to heaven. It's the truth, and I lie not. I stood in that entombment, and I saw people walking lifeless like zombies. They were walking this way, men and women. They had little babies in their arm. They didn't have any life about them. They just walked like this. And they didn't have any emotion. They didn't have any life about them. And I was terrified. And I said, God, what's happening? Oh, my God, what's going on? And the Lord said to me, and oh, my brother, this is what he said. He said, son, this is the people at the ball game that was praying for their ball team. He said, it is the abomination in the sight of the Almighty God. I said, my God. Oh, my God, let me out of here. I said, let me out of here. I was just going to pieces. And all of a sudden, the side of it opened up and I stepped out into the daylight. I stepped out into the beautiful sunshine. And my heart began to sing. And I began to sing this song. And I wrote a song from it. God gave me a song in it. Brother Taylor and him sings it. And the song says, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. They'll probably sing it here sometime because they sing it all around the country. I thank you for the sunshine. Oh, I thank you for the birds. I thank you for the flowers. And I was just screaming out to the top of my voice. And I looked all around. I thought, well, people hear me. But my God, I don't care if they hear me. And folks tonight, I don't care if they hear me. God has delivered me from that entombment. Those people are dead while they live. They're absent from the presence of God. And they don't have God's Spirit. Jesus said, the day that thou eatest up, thou shalt surely die. Oh, what an abomination to take the blood of the Son of God and make it an unholy thing by praying for some trifling thing such as that. Oh, God, have mercy on our souls. Folks, we need to wake up. We need to shake ourselves and we need to come to life lest we fail to enter into that great place of rest. Satan savors the things that be of this world. Satan enjoys the things of this world. But the Bible said you pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. And you enter into the spirit and you desire spiritual things. And you begin to walk in the spirit and do things in the spirit. And seek after the spirit. For the end of all things is at hand. God will give you all the things that you need in the world. He made the world to be inhabited. He made the world for you. He made all of the things of the world for you that are needful for you. When it comes to the trees, when it comes to the bird, when it comes to the streams, the lakes, the ocean, the stars, the sun, when it comes to things that benefit you like automobiles and homes and even recreational things God has given to you in some measure. But you've gotten beside yourself and you've taken the children's games away from them. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. Now you say, Brother Pike, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. My daddy was an outstanding ball player. I used to get way back up in the balcony just to see my daddy do what he was going to do. And I thought he was the grandest thing on the field. Sometime they played ball, sometime they fought. When I growed up, sometime we'd done the same thing. It was a great thing. I thought it was a great thing. But folks, one day God spoke to me and God opened my eyes. And I learned that you put difference between darkness and light. And they that are carnal minded, that's death. And those things certainly are not spiritual. Those things are certainly not spiritual. You've got to define spiritual things as spiritual, and you've got to define the mind of Christ as the mind of Christ, and the mind of man as the mind of man. And that which is the mind of man is enmity with God, and it is death. It is death. But did you know, beloved friend, that it is a fact that before people in this world will give up those things, they will actually die? Did you know they will actually die? Before they give them up, they will die. I know of a man that had to have his members taken off, his leg. They said, "You'll have to quit smoking." He said, "If I have to quit smoking to keep my legs, then I lose my legs." And so it was. But oh, my brother, sister, don't you know that's no way to look at it? Don't you know that's no way to look at it? Let's remember tonight that God has told us the truth, and that God is trying to help us, and that God loves us tonight. Why should we die? Why should we die? I want you to stand with me tonight. Oh, I tell you what. Tomorrow night, if the Lord will help me, and I'm satisfied that some of you will be at your churches. I wish it was possible. I don't request this of any of the churches because I know they've got their own duties. But I wish it was possible that the churches tomorrow night could just call their services off and just come and be with Brother Pike one night to strengthen us in this revival. I've done it at my church. We've been timed. We call our services off when a tent meeting come in. Strengthen the hands of the evangelist because he wasn't going to be there long. But I just wish it was possible. And if tomorrow night, if God will help me, I'm going to talk about some things tomorrow night that some of you, I know when I say that tomorrow night, you're talking about your mind going into a spin. But it's going into a spin and you're going to say, my God, Lord, what did that man say? I know you're going to do it. I know you're going to do it. But I tell you what, if you'll listen at it tomorrow night, I guarantee you one thing. When we get through, you'll be glad. You'll be glad. I see Denny grinning back there. He knows I'm telling the truth. But you'll be glad. You'll be glad if you'll just hold on. You'll be glad at some of the things that we say. But you have to give me a chance to finish. If you're hair triggered, and every time I go to say something, oop, out you go, and you don't listen. You know, Solomon said a man's not very wise that answers a matter before he ever hears it. And some people, they never give you a chance to finish what you're saying. You just say something and up and out they go. And they don't know what you believe and they don't know what you say. And they could care less, as the world says. But I tell you what, if you'll give us a chance to finish what we're saying, you might find some things you take a liking to. That's right. And you might be glad all the days of your life that you did. It'll be health to your body. It'll be peace. All the paths of God are peace. You'll find yourself prosperous. You'll find yourself being blessed financially. You'll find yourself prosperous. You'll find your health returning to you after all of your praying and searching and looking. I promise you in the name of Jesus Christ, if you'll do these things that I'm telling you, your health will return to you. Your happiness will return to you. Your prosperity will return to you. If your family's separated, they'll come back together. You'll begin to find the things that you're looking for. I guarantee you, you'll do it if you'll do the things I'm asking you to do. If you don't do them, then it won't do you any good. But if you hear them, be not a forgetful hearer. I promise you in the name of the Lord, it'll happen exactly the way that we're telling you. Folks, listen. Tonight, my hand be raised to heaven. I tell the truth and lie not. The Holy Ghost bearing witness with my soul every day of my life. I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I have peace that passeth all understanding. I have the love of God flooding my soul like a mighty river. That's the truth, so help me God. And if I'm lying, then that means all I'll be part of them that's in the lake of fire, because the Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, and God don't need nobody to lie for him. But I'm telling you the truth. You know why I have that? Because I found him one day, and I met him one day, and I obeyed him one day, and I've been honoring him, and he loves me, and I love him, and we have a good time together. Amen. You love Jesus? Praise God. I'm thankful tonight. It's been a real privilege to talk with you.
I'm glad to see Brother Raymond here from over in Marysville. I knew he was supposed to get here today. I really appreciate our Brother Raymond being here with us. We have some wonderful people here with us. I look around and I see so many of them that I know, and that's such a blessing to me. Some of them that come to our meetings regularly, no matter where we're at. Brother Merritt back here and his wife, there's hardly ever a tent meeting we have. Whether it's down in Florida, we go way down in Florida or wherever. Usually as a rule, the best I can remember, Brother and Sister Merritt is there. Now, I can't remember exactly where they were in Orlando or not, but I know they've been with us in most all the other tent meetings, wherever we've been. I've got some other people here that feel the same way. They love to be with us in the worships of God. And the people here, I just see numbers of people from the areas of Louisville and Jeffersonville and around. And I'm so thankful tonight that those people would care enough to come out and be with us here. You know, people that find life want to follow life. I got a telephone call tonight from one of our brothers, and he told me, he said, "Brother Pike, I want you to come back home." He said, "Hurry and come back home." You love Jesus? You know, it's good to have people to miss you, isn't that right? It's good to have people that miss you. I thank the Lord for that. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? I want you to forgive me. Preaching to you. Sometimes I can't do my best in preaching to you, because if you pray and seek God, sometimes you can't have the drive you'd like to have when it comes to preaching. But the thing is, we've got to seek God if we have a revival. When you come to a place like Jeffersonville, Indiana, revivals don't just happen. When you come to a place like Jeffersonville, Indiana, God's got to give a revival, folks, or you don't have it. And we're trusting God to give a revival. And there's people that's calling on the name of Jesus so that we can have a revival. And I appreciate every one of those people that's standing with us to call upon the name of Jesus. There's minister brethren that's standing here on the platform that has bound together themselves as a band to help us. And they brought chairs down here. They come in here and they loaned us their chairs so that we could have a revival here. Been numbers of ministers, all kind of ministers that come together. And I think that's so beautiful, don't you? You know, to love Jesus and to come together. It is so wonderful. The Bible teaches that we should all be of one mind, one accord. We all should speak the same thing. Isn't that right? You know what the same thing is? Talk about the love of God. Isn't that right? You say, what is the love of God? To keep His commandments. To keep His commandments. What is His commandments? To preach the Word of God. To preach the Word of God. You love Jesus? How wonderful He is. How glorious He is. When we all come together. When we all come together. Brother Taylor, he sings that little chorus. When we all pull together. Now I hope it's been comfortable in here. It's always comfortable to me because I'm sweating right now. I usually come out of my coat and was just about ready to get out of it then. I'm sweating already. But I usually sweat, and when it's real warm, I get so heated up when I'm really driving and preaching. I just been kind of going light here. But when I really get steamed up, I get so wet till I can wring the water out of my socks when I go home. You say you're exaggerating, Brother Pike, so help me God, it's the truth. You ask Betty, she'll tell you. But I want you to lift your hands up with me. Now we've got some people here, some wonderful people, some ministers, some precious men of God. Some of them I'm acquainted with, some of them I'm not. I wish I was acquainted with all of them because they're so very dear to me. They're very precious to me. You know, the Bible said give double honor. You say, Brother Pike, you're making a big fuss over them. The Bible said give double honor to them that labor in the Lord. I make a fuss over you because you're the brotherhood. But when it comes to the minister, the Bible said make a double fuss over them. So I want you to know that I'm making a double fuss over them because I'm giving double honor to them that labor in the Lord. You say, well, Brother Pike, I think you might overdo it. Well, the Bible said, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. Esteem them very highly. It didn't just say esteem them, but esteem them very highly. So I esteem them very highly for their work's sake, because they're the ministers of God. And we've got people here tonight that's of reputation. I don't know them. I heard somebody say the other night that Brother Collins was with us from over here at the Tabernacle of Brother Branham. Whether he was or not, I don't know. Somebody said Billy Paul was with us. I never did see him, but some of the others said they saw him, that he was here, and somebody said Sister Hicks was here. I'm not familiar with the people, but I know that Sister Hicks also is a lady of reputation in this area. And I know that some of these ministers and different ones here, and like Billy Paul and the others, they have reputation. I know they're very fine people. And some of them I know, some of them I don't know. And I'm sorry that I don't know them all, because I wish I did. I recognize Denny here because I know Denny. He's been down my way numbers of times, and he's all over the country, everywhere from New York to California. I guess you've been in California too, huh, Denny? So he's everywhere, and I know Denny. And there's not too many tent meetings that Denny don't get to. He gets around. All right, if you love Jesus, just slip your hands up now. I want you to know one thing. If I don't recognize you, if I don't know you by sight, then I know you in the spirit, and I love you, and I appreciate you. And I thank God for you, and I want you to know that I esteem you worthy of double honor tonight. And you that are of reputation, God bless your heart. I think it's wonderful that you would come out and be with us and stand with Brother Pike and offer any support or effort toward the kingdom of our dear Father. Remember, we're all brothers and sisters. We're all laboring together for one thing, and that's to win souls into the kingdom of God. And when we come and labor together, there's one thing about it. If you come here, beloved friend, and people see you in a brotherhood here, when they start looking for a church, if they get saved, if they come together, if they start looking for a church or a place to go, they're going to look for your church, because there's one thing about it. They're going to say, well, at least that sister or brother, they believe in a brotherhood. They believe in loving one another. They believe in worshiping God. Let's just slip our hands up, children of God. You know, one thing that I believe, you know, the charismatic people, they believe in praising God. I'm that much charismatic, because I know the word. You know, you speak of charisma, it has to do with Christ. We all believe in that. But I mean, I'm that much charismatic. I believe you ought to praise God. I don't believe that's all there is to it, because like I said the other night, them four beasts around the throne wasn't nothing but beasts. And they praised God day and night, but there wasn't nothing but beasts. You could praise God all the time and still just be beasts. But the thing is, you got to live holy. You got to do right. But that is part of it, because they praise God day and night. And I believe in praising God. So they've got that much of it right. Isn't that right? You know, some of them's got one part of it right, and some of them's got another part of it right, and some of it's got another part of it right. It's like John Wesley. When John Wesley came and established the Methodist Church, at least old brother John had a method. He had a method, and he had a good method too, didn't he? Because he believed in sanctification. He had that much of it right. So then if we get all this together, then we're really going to have something. If we get all them churches together and we get what good part they got, and we get rid of what bad part they got, and we piece all this thing together, in that the Bible said we know in part, while we'll have the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll have all this thing together, and we'll sure enough have a church. Isn't that right? So then let's love the Lord tonight. Let's just lift our hands up and love Him. You love Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. Let's just worship God for a few minutes tonight. Hallelujah. Now it might be getting just a little cool in here, but we're going to let you go in just a few minutes. If we have to, we'll put some more heat in here. We put some heat in here. It might be a little uncomfortable. Hallelujah. Can you sing that with David tonight?
And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
Can you sing it?
Something so wonderful happened, and now
oh, yes, He touched me. Sing it with me.
Oh, touch me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something wonderful happened, and now
can you hear Jesus
tonight?
Jesus touched me,
and he made me.
Can you feel Jesus touching you tonight? I felt him touch me tonight. Can you feel him touching you tonight? While Dave's singing, the others are singing with him. I want you to do something for me. I asked you to do this last night. I want you to step out and come to the altar tonight. I asked everybody to come last night, and they responded beautifully. And I'd like for you to do that again tonight, would you? You know, it just gives, it does something for service. For you to step out and just kind of get together at the altar to worship God. Let's everybody come tonight, will you? Will you do that, you sinner? You're lost without God. Sing. If you've got God tonight, come on down for a few minutes. It won't take but a few minutes. And then after that, you can go your way and go home, and you'll feel so much better. You know, they sang that song when the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. I said the other night, you know, no matter what it is, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever. But there's one thing about it. When the saints of God start marching toward the portals of glory, I want to be in it, don't you? It don't make no difference to me if there's a Methodist in it, Baptist in it, Presbyterian in it. It don't make no difference to me. All I want to do is just be in it myself, that's all. Long as they go, them people love God. I love the Lord. You know, it's not what you belong to. It's who you belong to. Isn't that right?
Without God,
it's not what you profess, but it's what you possess. If you possess the right thing tonight, you're all right. If you belong to the right one tonight, you're all right. You just got to belong to Jesus. Isn't that right? You got to do the right thing. You say, what's that, Brother Pike? Have your fruits under holiness. Now, you might be in a Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Catholic. Oh, I say none. Catholics going to be saved. Martin Luther started your Methodist and Baptist and Pentecostal church with a Catholic. He was a Catholic. But he was a fasting man that loved God. He loved God. If it hadn't been for some of them monks preserving the Word of God through the Dark Age, we wouldn't have any Scripture today. God used them, isn't that right? God used John Wesley. If it hadn't been for that man standing for sanctification, where would the church be today? God's used every one of them denominations. He's used every one of them in a great move. But did you know, I say this to all walks of life and all religion. We're coming to an age now to where God is getting ready to get his people together. He's getting ready to tear down the fences built. You know, you can put children in fences. You build fences to keep them out of the highways, keep them from being hurt. But when they get big enough, they're going to climb over the fences and have fellowship with the neighbors. That's right. They're going to climb over the fences
and
have fellowship with the neighbors. I was over in Israel not too long ago. I met Brother Pat Boone. I don't know if you know him or not. Pat's a singer. He was there in Israel. We was talking to him about the Lord. Had a few minutes there to fellowship. And he was telling me how they love Jesus.
He will make a way for
and though he's a celebrity, yet his mind is on God. And I said, what are you doing over here? He said, there's about 5 plane loads of us come over here. He said, we come over here to go through the temples of these idols and to curse them in the name of Jesus, that God would destroy them. That God would destroy them.
If you trust, don't ever doubt, he will surely.
The great celebrities of today, men like Jimmy Carter, President,
His mind is still on God. They might not be walking with God like they ought to, but they know there's a God. Washington was known to get off of his horse, kneel down in the snow, and pray to God, even to seeing visions.
He will never leave.
Abraham Lincoln prayed to God. People, great celebrities, know there's a God. The inspector that came out to inspect these wiring setups out here, he informed us he's an elderly man.
Take your burden.
But he informed us that when he was 8 years old, he said, seeing this tent reminds me of the time when William Brown, a man here in Jeffersonville, set up a tent by the river down here. He said, I wasn't but 8 years old when he set the tent up. He said, and I remember how that it split right down the middle. And God kept it from hurting any of us. Said it fell on us. But God kept it from hurting any of us.
Your soul is all
people that you never think know God and thought about Jesus. They love Jesus.
Jesus,
did you know that?
The
they love Jesus.
He can say that.
Let's hold up a light tonight.
Take your
let's hold up a light.
To the Lord.
Let's lift our hands leave up and love him just a little, will you folks?
Oh, leave it there.
I want you to take just a few minutes.
Oh, leave it there.
Just love him for a few minutes.
Take your burdens to
I wonder tonight.
Lord, leave it there.
Praise God.
If you trust and never die.
Let the one there with the crutch come up here and let us pray for him. If there's somebody that's sick in their body, you'd like to come up on the ramp. I want to pray for you. We prayed for people every night.
Leave it there.
Except last night, we just prayed for them as a whole.
Leave it there.
But I'd like for you to stand out there with me tonight.
Take your burdens
all of us together.
To the Lord and leave it there.
Have you believe in praying
if
for the sick?
Trust, don't ever die.
The Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. We're supposed to pray for the sick, isn't that right?
Take your burdens to the Lord.
So we want to pray for the sick. I feel faith. How many feel faith tonight? I feel faith. I feel more faith here tonight than I felt just probably in any service we've had.
Just let go.
I feel somehow or another that the yoke has been broken off of jail. I believe the ministers of God have done it. I believe by them making up their minds that they're not going to let Satan bind jail. I believe that that broke the yoke off. I believe God done it, don't you? Just by making up her mind. So we're going to pray tonight, and I want you to pray with me. Will you pray with me tonight? Praise God. Father, Lord, in Jesus' name tonight, I want you to heal this body. Lord, whatever this crippled condition is, I want you to heal it for your glory tonight. In the name of Jesus, Father, I know that you're willing. And I know that you're able. Father, I feel faith tonight. And I believe tonight.
Reach out and touch.
And I want this boy to be completely healed tonight. Help him to believe, Father. You said you purify our hearts by faith. Help him to believe tonight. Help him to believe.
Hallelujah. He's passing by this moment. Supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He
goes by. Just tell the Lord. Just say, Jesus, I'm going to lay everything aside.
He's not too busy
to
hear your
heart. Are you willing to trust Him and believe Him if I pray for you?
He's passing.
I felt faith. I know you really want your healing. And I really believe it's going to get to him.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your
Father, cry. In the name of Jesus, this person is believing tonight. Lord, open that door of fervency.
Reach out.
Heal tonight. Heal tonight. In the name of your Son, Jesus, heal.
Oh God. Oh God. Lord, I felt you do something for this person just then. Praise God. You know what? I felt God do something for you just then. Yes, sir. I felt him do something for you just then. I felt him do something more than give you some faith. Are you willing to give it a try and see? Let's give it a try and see.
Hallelujah.
I felt him do more for you than that. He done something for you, though.
God.
I felt him do something for you, as sure as you live in this world.
Is you ready? Oh, I see. I bless your heart.
All right, I will. Give it a try. God bless your heart. God bless you. God bless you. God bless your heart. You want prayer? All right, we'll pray for you. All right. Praise God. I felt God do something for that person as they stood here tonight. I really did from the bottom of my heart. How have you felt that tonight? You believe God done something for him?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I still feel the Holy Ghost
praise
confirming
God.
It as I stand.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I want to pray for this sister. She says she's got cancer. How do you believe God will heal cancer? You know, we've had some reports. According to what we understood, they gave the reports that the people had cancer, but God healed them. God healed them. I believe God will heal them. You know, when you're dying with cancer, you're not playing a game. Isn't that right? The evangelist can play a game, and the people can play a game, but the person that's got the cancer isn't playing a game. It's life or death with them. So tonight, we're not playing a game. Her life is at stake. Her health and happiness is at stake. And I'm going to pray, and I believe God's going to heal it. Now you say, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. My hand be raised to God tonight. I believe God's going to heal her of cancer when I pray tonight. Do you believe it? I believe God's going to heal her of cancer. You believe it? Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to heal this cancer tonight. Heal it, oh God. Move it out of the spot. I condemn this disease.
We shall wear a crown.
I feel you doing it right now, Jesus. I condemn this disease.
Hallelujah.
In the name of
Jesus.
I want it to die, Jesus. I want her body to be cleansed.
Bright and shine.
I want it, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus.
Yes,
the Lord Jesus Christ.
Over,
right now.
We shall
I want
wear
it
a crown in the new
in Jesus name.
Jerusalem.
Right now.
We'll
heal,
wear a crown.
Father. And dear God,
we'll wear a crown.
The next report
we'll
that she gets from a doctor,
bright and shine.
I want a good report. God, that
yes,
you've taken this thing away.
The battle is
will you
over.
Give it to me, Jesus?
We shall wear a crown.
Will you give it to me, Jesus?
In the new Jerusalem.
Right now, I'm waiting on your answer, Jesus.
Crown.
Right now.
Wear a bright
hallelujah.
And shining crown. Oh, yes, when the battle is over,
hallelujah.
We shall wear a crown
God
in the new Jerusalem.
Hallelujah. I believe God healed.
Well, I got just
how do you believe
I
God healed that for her?
I got just what
I really
I
do.
I got just
I really
what
do.
I wanted from the Lord.
Ain't that wonderful?
Yes,
let's
I
lift the hands of love, God,
I
for
wanted,
that.
I got
hallelujah. Father,
I
in the name of Jesus,
I
we praise you for healing
I
that girl of cancer.
From the Lord.
Father, for doing away with
well,
it in Jesus' name. Lord, you said if we believe, we have whatsoever we say. And I say she's healed in Jesus' name. And I believe it tonight.
Yes,
hallelujah.
My healing's what I wanted. My
can you love him tonight?
What I wanted. My
tonight.
What I wanted from the Lord.
Mark 11:22.
And I got just what I wanted.
Said you, say whatever
what
you will.
I got just what I wanted from.
If a man can believe in his heart,
yes,
and doubt not,
just what I wanted,
he can have whatever
I
he says.
What I wanted,
if he can believe
I
in his heart
what I
and doubt not, he can have whatever he says.
Well, deliverance
is that right?
Is what I, wanted.
I believe tonight.
Is what I, wanted.
I believe tonight.
Deliverance is what I wanted.
Are you giving your life to God so you can believe?
Yes, deliverance.
Do you
want
to believe so people can be healed? Do you want to believe so people can be free? Do you want to believe so people can be happy? Do you?
I got.
Will you give your life to God so you can believe?
I got just
will you?
What I wanted from.
Hallelujah.
Yes, I got just what I wanted.
I got just what I wanted.
I got just what I wanted from the Lord. Well, salvation's what I wanted.
Sing it with David, will you?
Salvation's what I wanted.
I'm going to tire for just a minute and I'm going to go.
Salvation's what I wanted from the Lord.
Let's worship the Lord.
Salvation's what I wanted. Salvation's what I wanted. Salvation's what I wanted from the Lord. And I got just what I wanted.
Hallelujah. The Lord's been talking to me today.
I got just what I wanted from the Lord. I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted.
I want you to believe with me.
I got just what
I felt it healed me. I want you to believe with me.
Where salvation is what I wanted. Salvation.
Hallelujah.
Is what I wanted.
Can you
salvation
say hallelujah?
What I wanted from the Lord. Yes, yeah, salvation, what I wanted. Salvation, what I wanted.
Salvation,
what I wanted from the Lord.
I want to pray tonight for you. There's some of you tonight that needs healing. Some of you needs a touch from God. And I want you to lift your hands up tonight. And I want to pray with you. He wants to believe God. I can tell he wants to believe God. God bless your heart. You love Jesus.
Praise God.
There's some faith here tonight.
Hallelujah.
Did you know it? There's some faith here tonight. Praise God. You believe God done the work for you? I really believe from my heart he did. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's kind of hard to believe. When cancer strikes, you want to believe, but you got to have somebody to believe with you. Isn't that right? Because that fear strikes. You think, oh my God, I want to believe, but what if it ain't right? What if it ain't right? Then Jesus, I'm gone. I'm gone. But you know, if you get everything right with God, you say, well, glory to God, if I'm gone, I'm gone to a better city. But glory to God, I'm not gone because I got a lot of things I'm going to do here because Jesus said I'm healed and I'm healed. That's right. I believe with all of my heart that God healed you. And I want you, I tell you what I want you to do. If I want Sister Betty or some of them to give you the address that you can write us. Because I'm expecting you to write us and say, Brother Pike, I'm healed, I'm healthy, and I'm happy. I'm expecting a letter from you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory to God. I believe that brother believes it. Praise God. How do you know the Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick? If they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. A lot of times people say, well, I've sinned. That's the reason I'm going to die. But the Bible said if they've committed any sins, all that's done, taken care of. God still heals them. He forgives their sins and heals them too. Isn't that right? Come on now. So then tonight, God heals you. God forgives your sins.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling
on. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you
yes,
to touch
I
these
feel
eyes,
like
Father.
Traveling on
Father,
and on,
in Jesus' name
I feel
tonight,
like traveling
may your spirit
on.
Be here tonight. May your healing
My
power be here tonight.
Home
may the blessing of God be
fair.
Present tonight.
I feel
to
like traveling on.
I feel you doing it, Jesus.
It's glittering
you believe?
Towers,
you believe?
The sun outside.
You feel the Spirit of God.
I feel like traveling on.
Hallelujah. Father,
that
I feel your presence in Jesus' name.
Shall be mine.
Let's believe
I feel
tonight.
Like traveling
you know what?
On.
Well,
Jeff
yes,
has been one of the hardest places I've ever been in.
On and on.
Not to feel the Spirit of God, because I've felt it continually since I've been here. But it's been one of the hardest places I've ever seen to get a chain reaction of the moving of the Spirit. It'll hit, stop. Hit, stop. And it'll go up so high, and it'll stop. But I want you to turn loose and believe God. Will you? There must be numbers of people that's done things they ought not. Devil in the world is something that's got under condemnation. When they go to raise their faith up, it's like there's a heavy blanket or an overcast. But I felt it break last night. And I feel a victory tonight. So let's press through and enjoy our salvation tonight. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to heal
the Lord has
whatever's wrong
so good
tonight, you
to
know,
me.
Jesus.
I feel like
traveling on.
Oh, I feel faith.
Until
I feel faith,
that blessing.
Lord, send me
oh,
some hearts
I
faith.
See. I feel like traveling on.
Hallelujah. Praise
well,
God.
Sister, I feel faith. Like
praise God.
On and on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair, and I feel like traveling on.
Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to do something for this brother. Father, give him a real deliverance in his spirit, in his soul. Help him to see, Father. Dear God, always, Father, our problems of life, always, Father. Always, Jesus, is when we fail to go with thee. I want you to do something for this home. Hear me, Jesus. Do something. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. You feel God? I feel His presence, don't you? Hallelujah. Lift your hands up again. I want to pray with you tonight. I still feel the presence of God.
It was good.
I felt God trying to do something here ever since we've been here. I just felt like God wanted to do something in a mass. Like I say, I feel the Spirit of God begin to settle down. Then I feel it live. I feel it begin to settle down. I feel it live. But I'd like to see it come down like a beautiful dove and just sit down on the people. Just come down and just tarry and just hover over the people.
Give me that old time. Religion,
you love Jesus.
Old time religion. Give me that old time religion.
I could tell you a number of things tonight that would encourage your heart. Things of faith and things that had happened. But I'd love to see something happen here, wouldn't you? That's the best thing, is to have something happen here. So let's just lift our hands up and ask God to let something happen here. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, everybody don't get healed, do they? But it isn't because God don't want everybody healed. Did you know that God wants everybody healed? God wants everybody healed. The devil afflicts, but God heals. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, if God wants everybody healed, why don't they get healed? God wants everybody saved. Said it's not my will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. But everybody don't get saved, do they? Everybody don't get saved. The Bible said Jesus went into a place and many mighty works he could not do because of their unbelief. It wasn't because of his unbelief. You know, you can have power and a transformer, and it can come to a light. But you got to have a connection, isn't that right? I need a connector out there tonight. I feel faith up here. And if I can get a connector, we'll have some fireworks. If I can get a connection, we'll have some fireworks. I'm looking for some connections tonight. You want to connect with me tonight? The Bible said if any two of you agree as touching anything, I'll do it.
We need some faith. Paul looked around, saw a man, and he perceived that the man had faith to be healed. And he commanded him to stand on his feet. I want you to lift up your hands tonight. And I want you to believe with me. I want you to believe with me tonight, will you? Will you do it tonight? Now I want to pray for you tonight. Some of you's got afflictions. You got problems. Demon oppression. You're not going to tell me about it because you'd rather keep it a secret. You'd rather nobody know about it. And that's all right. That's your business. But it's nothing to be ashamed of. If you want deliverance and need deliverance, that's all right. God will deliver you. But I want you to lift your hands up. If you want me to just pray for you tonight, I want you to lift your hands up. Folks, I'm expecting some testimonies. I'm expecting some healings. I'm expecting God to do something. You know, we were over in the islands of Haiti not too long ago. And the Lord blessed us. We had hundreds of people. I guess we just a couple of nights, 1,500 to 2,000 people came out. Night to night. And when we prayed for the sick, the faith was so great. And the people came in a mad rush, sweating and perspiring. And the anointing was so mighty and the faith was so great. I prayed with such fervency. And the anointing was so great that a renowned evangelist sitting in the back that traveled across the different parts of the world, as the anointing fell, he was crying out to God and he said, God, in the name of Jesus, I beg of you to give me this anointing that's upon Brother Pike tonight. God wants to heal. But you know, here in America, people don't have much drive. They don't have much faith. They don't have much ego. I couldn't hardly keep the people from crushing me. They were so afraid that I wouldn't get to them and touch them until they were just falling over one another and pushing like a mad herd of people. And in the two nights, they said, Brother Pike, out of the two nights that we had miracles every night. Can you believe? Can you believe? Lift your hands up again. We tire so easy. We put forth so little effort. Praise God. Would you come up here, sister? Let's just worship the Lord for a minute, see what this sister's trying to tell me here. Praise God. I thank God for healing her foot. She said she couldn't walk, but God healed her. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is good, isn't he? I want to pray for you. I never did get to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I want you to lift your hands up, lift your hearts up, lift faith up tonight, will you? As long as we're here in Jeffersonville, Indiana, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be asking God to do something special for you. Because I love you. People are very dear to me. I like to see people live a full, healthy, wholesome life to where they can testify for Jesus and do something for the Lord Jesus. I love to see them be filled with the Spirit. Folks, I love you. But there's some of you tonight. Listen, Brother Pike, don't feel bad at me. But there's some of you fixing to have some heartaches. It's going to tear your heart out. It's going to just about cause you to break down in despair of life. You may go all to pieces. But I want you to pray. I want you to believe. You're here tonight. It's going to happen to you within the next few hours. But I want you to pray tonight. And I want you to believe. I want you to lift your hands up with me, will you? Let's just lift our hands up. Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus, as I pray tonight, Lord, for Susie, Father, God, on the behalf of this request, be merciful tonight, Jesus. Hear, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hear from heaven. Forgive sin, save souls, Father. Lord, remember this request. Remember it, Father. Touch Susie, do something special for her. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Just lift your hands back up. We're going to let you go in a few minutes. I'm not trying to hold you. I just felt for a few minutes tonight that we should tarry. I'm going to pray for you tonight. And if there's something wrong with you, I promise you that if you'll believe with me tonight, that God will heal you. I give you my word that if you will all together just fall on Him, just say now, Lord, I'm not going to lean to my own reasoning and understanding no more. I'm not going to try to figure it out. But I'm going to fall on you now, Lord. Live, die, sink, or swim. I'm not going to try to figure it out or say maybe it won't happen. God, if I die, I die. But I'm going to believe with all my heart it's going to happen. I'm not even going to think in the other direction. Never no more. And I guarantee you it'll happen. I guarantee you it'll happen. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I want the brethren to pray with me up here on the platform, please. As I pray tonight, oh God, I ask in your name tonight for these people. As I link together with these minister brethren, Father, in the behalf of these sheep tonight, in the behalf of the people. As Samuel of old said, God forbid that I should sin against God by not praying for the people. For I know that it's a sin against God to fail to pray for the people. And I pray for the people, and you know that I pray for the people, Father. And I pray for the people in your presence tonight and in the presence of the people tonight. And I pray that you'd heal them. And I pray that your Spirit would come down out of heaven and settle over them tonight. I pray that your great Spirit would be here tonight. Oh, may your Spirit tonight move over this audience and heal, Father. May the power of God be here tonight. And dear God, may you break every yoke tonight. Dear God, may these people be healed. May sins be forgiven tonight. And dear God, may the power of God settle over them tonight. And may they feel that touch from heaven. God, as the great, wonderful Holy Spirit comes down, may they feel that divine touch from heaven. God, may their bodies be healed. And dear God, tonight, may you console the brokenhearted. May you deliver the oppressed. And Father, those that are headed for heartbreak, I pray that you do something, Jesus. I pray thee in the name of Jesus tonight that you do something for them. Father, stretch out your hand tonight. Will you do it? Will you do it? Will you do it? In the name of your lovely child, Jesus. In Jesus' name tonight. In Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Can we sing a chorus together tonight? Hallelujah. Can you sing with us, David?